Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the Week 17 NFC North Showdown is just a few days away now. Green Bay at Detroit, prime time on Sunday Night Football. And as we look at the Detroit Lions here, I think it starts and stops in some senses with Matthew Stafford, the quarterback, who's having, you know, arguably maybe his best season of his career, and what he's done in the fourth quarters of football games is really what has stood out to get the Lions where they are today.
Right, because Mike, if you look at his passer rating, 93.1, it doesn't jump out to you really that much. 22 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 3,900 passing yards. All by accounts, good numbers. But again, as you said, it's what he's done in the fourth quarter. The Lions, the amount of games that they've had this year where they've come back late, he's been the main engineer of that. And ultimately, when you don't have Kelvin Johnson, the job he's done to make this all work, I think it really says a lot about Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, for sure. I've been impressed with Stafford. We talked a lot in the offseason about just how would this Detroit offense look, right, and how would it function for the first time in a long time without Megatron, a huge talent and a big-time target for Stafford throughout his career up until this point. And I give Stafford a lot of credit. You know, he's spread the ball around now. Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Theo Riddick out of the backfield, Eric Ebron, the tight end. A lot of guys getting targets from Stafford throughout the course of the season. And it reminds me a little bit, and I don't want to take this too far, but it reminds me a little bit of Brett Favre early in his career.
Sure, yeah.
When Sterling Sharp suddenly retired because of the neck injury, it was as though Favre was forced to become a better quarterback because he didn't necessarily have that one go-to guy, that security blanket guy to always rely on. And this is a little later in Stafford's career, but there are some similarities.
100% I agree with you. I think that's a really good analogy because there is no way to replace Calvin Johnson. And what's interesting about the offense this year for the Lions, I mean, yeah, you do have Golden Tate gets a second 1,000-yard season in 3 years with the Lions since he came over from Seattle. But they brought in Marvin Jones Jr. He had a really hot start. I think he was leading the league in receiving yards through the first month of the season. Has really gone quiet for the last 2.5 months. My fantasy team can speak to that. But the thing is that Eric Ebron has really come out of his shell a little bit and blossomed into a nice tight end option. Only has one touchdown on the year, but 650 receiving yards. He's been a lot more consistent than he was his first couple NFL seasons. I think that's a big reason why, even when they have been getting that production from Jones, they've still been able to get this offense going the second half of the season.
Yeah, and the guy we haven't even mentioned yet is the one who's actually leading them in touchdown catches, right, I believe, and that's the veteran Anquan Boldin, who was brought in along with the signing of Marvin Jones when all of this went down with Megatron's retirement. And the Packers have certainly seen Boldin over the years in his former stops, and this is just a veteran, tough guy, possession receiver, call him what you will,
right,
but he's productive, and he's a tough customer.
He is, and especially in the red zone, as you mentioned with the 7 touchdowns. The thing about Boldin, you know, there were so many times in his career early on, they talked about him sort of being this hybrid type of receiver, tight end. It almost seems like he's leaning more towards the tight end at this point of his career, probably similar to what, you know, Larry Fitzgerald has done in Arizona in terms of being those slot-type receivers and in finding ways to get open in space. That's what Bolden's done. His 8.4 yards per catch aren't going to jump off the page to you, but he's been really a great safety valve for Stafford when he needed it. I think second on the team right now with 63 receptions. He's not going to break away from you anymore. I think his only longest catch this year is 27 yards, but still a guy the Packers have to be really aware of on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, Bolden's that type of guy, much like Fitzgerald is now as well. Uses his physicality,
right,
to get open. It might only be a little bit of separation, but it's that, you know, basketball rebounding style thing. He's just going to keep the defender away from the ball, show the quarterback where to throw it, usually right at the first down marker to move the chains. That's the kind of guy he is. The last couple of games, Matthew Stafford's been playing with a dislocated middle finger on his throwing hand. I have to admit, I haven't watched a whole lot of Detroit over the last couple of ball games. Have you seen anything in terms of the impact of that injury on his game?
You know, I'll say this. In terms of a throwing perspective, it doesn't seem like he's lost a whole lot. He still has plenty of zip on the ball, but maybe it's affecting the accuracy somewhat. I think there's somewhere around maybe 56 or 57% of his passes completed over these last three games for them. I think the biggest thing that's kind of jumped off the page for me is the fact that he just hasn't been able to get those big touchdown plays going. Had some unfortunate turnovers. The one against Dallas was before I believe it was halftime, really hurt them. It seemed like that was sort of the domino effect that kind of started off that route that the Cowboys got on. But in terms of just pure passing ability, he has such a strong arm to begin with. It doesn't appear that it's affecting it there. But you never know, especially with how important, you know, fingers and every finger on the hand is into a quarterback, how much that's disrupting maybe some of his accuracy on those balls.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got some more to talk about to break down the Lions here heading into Sunday Night Football. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, getting back to what we were talking about with the Lions, with all the fourth quarter comebacks, they've had their share of ups and downs this season. Detroit in 2016, they start the year 1-3. Everybody was kind of like, well, looks like the same old Lions. They won't get it going. Then they win 8 out of 9, which is where many of those fourth quarter comebacks occurred. And now they're heading into week 17 on a 2-game losing streak, albeit 2 losses on the road to the Giants and the Cowboys, 2 teams that are headed to the playoffs. My question for you with regards to these fourth quarter comebacks, I think there are 2 schools of thought on this. Some people think that the law of averages eventually catches up to you and you can't always keep winning at the end of games in the fourth quarter because you're just living on the edge too much, sure, so to speak. The other school of thought is, a team that pulls out a number of games like that in the fourth quarter is always going to believe it can win no matter what. It will have that confidence down the stretch in a tight game. Which way do you think it goes here?
Well, I'm going to give you the answer I'm sure you wanted. I think it's a little of both.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I think mentally there definitely is that confidence. And if you've gone through the rigors of a season and been able to come out of the other side and really gotten through that, I think that really can help a team come together and form an identity. So I do agree with that. At the same time, I think that's sometimes the situations where you get that false confidence too, in that, okay, well, we are this record, but you had a number of things go your way too. Now, I'm not saying that that's the Lions, but I've seen that happen in the NFL before.
Sure.
And for them right now, I think the big point of emphasis is, hey, it was great that we pulled through that, but we need to come out and really get up early against Green Bay. They need to get their crowd into it. They need to be able to really establish that momentum, because when you get really punched in the mouth like they did by the Cowboys, particularly in the second half of that game, a team that by all accounts didn't have anything to play for but really just momentum, that's something I think that they need to bounce back from. And I think if it was me and if I'm Jim Caldwell, I'd be talking to these guys about keeping that going. But however you win ball games, it's all about winning. It doesn't matter how you get there, and you have to give credit to the Lions for being able to put themselves in the position that they have.
Yeah, what do you think about this? The issue of the short week? The Packers played on Saturday,
yeah,
2 days earlier, 2.5 days earlier than the Lions, who played on Monday night on the road in Dallas. So they get back home at, you know, in the wee hours of the morning or whatever it might have been, and then the game coming up on Sunday. How much do you think that plays into who's readier, perhaps, for this game, if at all?
Well, in the Insider Inbox this week, I wrote, if it's me, I always wanted the 2 extra days to study for a test. I'm not an NFL coach. I don't know what Mike McCarthy and Jim Caldwell are thinking. I'm sure both of them have prepared for this scenario, though, particularly in Caldwell's situation. They had to know that this is how this was going to play out if they were going to be in the race for the NFC North title, that they were going to have to come back off a 6-day week. So for them, I think this is going to be a challenge, and we'll get to talking about this soon, but do you get Darius Slay back? Do you get Theo Riddick back?
Yeah.
Are you able to get some of those guys healthy again for this game? I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. Not that any of them were affected at all by that game on Monday night, but can you get them in, back in this offense and defense? Because both of those guys, I think, are going to be really important for this Lions team. Other than that, I mean, Stafford's finger isn't just going to miraculously heal overnight. They're going to deal with these things for as long as their season goes. So I think that's going to be the biggest key for them. For Mike McCarthy, it was an extra day of rest, and it was an extra day of preparation. And I'm sure for the Packers that they're probably feeling pretty good about that, considering this big run that they've been on of games.
Yeah, I think the extra day of rest for the Packers is really the key thing. And for the Lions, they did play on Thanksgiving, and they get that mini bye week right at the end of November where they have a weekend off, and that's sort of a late season chance to recoup, and that's something that the Packers didn't have. So I look at it as the short week would affect this Green Bay Packers team in this situation
sure.
much more than it would affect the Lions at this stage based on the way the schedule's laid out. But an interesting theme in Detroit this week: no division championships in 23 years. 1993 was the last time the Lions won the NFC Central or / NFC North title. And interestingly, I mentioned Brett Favre earlier. The last time the Lions won the division title, the Packers went to Detroit, the final game of the season. Detroit won the division title, but then the Packers went back there for the wild card game, and that became Brett Favre's first playoff win on the pass to Sterling Sharp for the winning touchdown in the final minute. So who knows, that type of scenario may play out here, but the Lions trying to end a pretty significant drought, much like they ended the drought of not beating the Packers in the state of Wisconsin for a quarter century last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these past few years, they've been able to get back in the playoff picture again with Matthew Stafford, you know, and getting that wild card spot, but not really making it, you know, much farther past that. So at least they aren't dealing with this big run of not being in the playoffs.
Right.
But at the same time, there is something, I think, to be said for going that long without a division title and wanting to get back on the front end of that when you think of how many times the Packers have won the Central and the North in that amount of time. The Lions are trying to build towards that. Bob Quinn, coming into Detroit this year, is trying to build a team that's going to compete year in and year out now. So they've kind of gone up, but then they've gone down. So for the Lions, I think this is going to be important, not only from just winning the division, but if they do get into the playoffs, trying to make a run at this thing, because they've been to this spot before. They just haven't been able to do much more with it. We'll have to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, they haven't had a home playoff game in Detroit. Certainly Ford Field
right.
has not hosted a home playoff game for the Lions. But you mentioned earlier some injuries that Detroit is dealing with, and I want to get back to those after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, you touched briefly on the injuries, a couple of key injuries that the Lions are dealing with. Start with the offensive backfield. Theo Riddick out with a wrist injury, but a new running back emerged on Monday night against Dallas, Zach Zenner, with a couple of touchdown runs for the Lions. What's the status in Detroit's backfield?
Well, first off, Zach Zenner, the only running back, actually only NFL player, that has their first name and last name start with a Z. So
there you go.
Is that a West
stats and info?
No,
there?
I found that that was during the ESPN broadcast. But anyway, okay. Regardless, right now Zenner he's had some opportunities. I think they liked him as a UFA 2 or 3 years ago. It seems like every time he's gotten a shot, though, you know, something else has happened. Obviously, Amir Abdullah was their main back going into this season before his injury took him out of the equation this year. So Zenner finds himself back in this situation again. You know, you look at Dwayne Washington, really hadn't 2.9 yards per carry. Theo Riddick dealing with the wrist injury. It was Zach Zenner's time. And when they got out to that quick start against the Cowboys, he was a big part of that. I think he had like 62 total yards in that first quarter, first half.
Okay.
But then second half just wasn't able to keep it going. Guy the Packers have to be cognizant of. Detroit hasn't been able to run the ball like they wanted to, and that's the reason this ball has been put in Matthew Stafford's hand as much as it has this season. But Zenner's a guy you have to be aware of, and then if Theo Riddick's back on the field, a dual-threat guy, is both a running back, their fourth leading receiver this year with 53 catches, kind of a scat back type guy, third down back that can give you a lot of headaches if you let him torch you a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be keeping an eye on Riddick and his situation throughout the week. I think the biggest injury, maybe for either team that we're looking at going into this game, is the hamstring injury of Darius Slay.
Yeah.
I take nothing away from DeAndre Levy, a Wisconsin product, really good linebacker. The Lions have him back on their defense. Glover Quinn at safety is a heck of a defender as well. But I think Slay has been the best defensive player for the Lions this season. You look at some of the key plays he's made. He had the interception against Sam Bradford to win the Thanksgiving game over the Vikings earlier in the season. I believe he forced a fumble at the end of a game against Philadelphia that led to one of those fourth quarter last second comebacks there by Stafford in the offense. Slay dealing with the hamstring injury. We'll just have to see whether or not he's out there, but I think this is a big storyline going into this game.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And I saw a lot of comments from people that cover the Lions, people that cover the Cowboys, all basically in unison throughout that game on Monday night, mentioning how much that defense missed Darius Slay. And I remember when they signed him to his extension, I think it was 1 or 2 years ago now, I originally raised some eyebrows when, I kind of saw the money that was attached to it. And I was like, okay, is he really a shutdown cornerback? I think over the last year and a half, he's certainly proved that. When you look at his numbers this year, I think he has 36 tackles, a sack, 2 interceptions. Numbers that don't necessarily pop out to you, but you see how different the Lions secondary is without him on the field. Yeah. And I think if you look at what the Packers are doing right now with Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams, the way he's played, Jared Cook being back in this offense, there's a lot of weapons already that Detroit has to account for. And if you don't have Slay, I would think the Packers are going to look at that as another opportunity to maybe get some more big plays, because Slay really is the guy. Him and, Glover Quinn, I think, are the two biggest guys in that defense in terms of that secondary of being able to really combat opposing passing games.
Yeah, I think if Slay is healthy and back out there, I think they match him up on Jordy Nelson. Yeah. That's just my guess. That's what the Vikings supposedly were planning to do with Xavier
Rhodes against
Nelson. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it makes the most sense. Now, the thing is, it seems like a lot of teams are really cautious about matching these days, wanting to, they want to keep their guy on a certain particular side of the field, let him get comfortable. But with everything being on the line, I would think the Packers are going to be moving guys around as much as possible, and you would think that Slay could potentially travel with Nelson if that's what they feel is the best game plan for, that defense.
Yeah, I agree. With that, Wes, let's take care of some sponsor business. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, to clarify, we heard from the NFL yesterday. The playoff picture has been clarified and somewhat simplified for the Packers now. Not quite as complicated as it's been the last couple weeks. The bottom line is this. We all know that the winner of the Detroit-Green Bay game is the NFC North champion and will be hosting a playoff game in January.
Right.
The Packers and Lions, though, can both make the playoffs, qualify for the playoffs before kickoff if the Giants beat the Redskins. So if New York wins that game, there's the possibility then that the Packers and Lions could do the back-to-back where they play this week, and then they might meet in the first round again the following week, depending on some other results. But if the Redskins beat the Giants, the Redskins are in the playoffs, and Packers-Lions is a winner-go-home game.
Or tie, right? Can't they tie as well?
If the Redskins and Giants tie, or are you saying the Packers?
The Packers and
yes,
Giants.
If the Packers and Lions tie, both make the playoffs.
Yes.
And the Redskins game doesn't matter at that point.
So it's a win, tie, or go home.
Okay.
Win or tie or go home situation.
All
I got to get that in a story this week. If I'm Mike McCarthy, Ben McAdoo, I hope you learned a lot of things from me. I hope you learned a lot of things in order to beat this Washington team. That's what it comes down to. The Packers need the Redskins to lose, and then it's all set up for them. I know they're only thinking about number 10, but let's be honest here. If Washington could lose that game, suddenly the kind of the prospects change a little bit. I think I don't know how they're going to approach that. I don't know if Mike McCarthy's going to mention that to his team at all, or if they're just going to play the game out. We'll wait and see. A lot of guys said earlier this week they aren't going to be scoreboard watching. The only thing they're concerned about is the Lions. But that's really the last domino that falls here. I thought that was the biggest thing, is hearing what Tampa Bay's situation was, because for a while that was sort of the wrench in this whole thing of trying to figure out where everyone stood.
Yeah, we've been talking about the strength of victory tiebreaker potentially with Tampa Bay if that plays out. And the situation is actually the Packers already have clinched the strength of victory right over Tampa Bay if both were to finish 9-7. The only hope that Tampa Bay has to stay alive in this whole thing is if the Redskins and Giants play to a tie. So yeah. Tampa Bay fans kind of are really rolling the dice, I guess, to keep their season alive. But as I said, it's been simplified now. Really just the one other game that affects whether or not potentially the Packers-Lions get in. And then the seeding process then comes down to whether or not Seattle wins or loses, Atlanta wins or loses. That's how the seeds from 2 through 6 will sort themselves out. All we know for sure right now is that Dallas is number 1 and the New York Giants are number 5,
right,
and everything else will fill in from there.
Yeah, and if you want to start getting really wacky and out there, the theories of which the Packers could host the Lions or the Lions could host the Packers again, all those things are still in play too.
Absolutely.
If certain scenarios play out, certainly we saw that in 2012 with Minnesota and Green Bay. But the thing is, I think for Green Bay, being in this situation, more than anything, you want to win this game, because then, yeah, you do get a game back at Lambeau Field, and the Packers are playing pretty darn good football at home here lately, and they played through some really difficult elements this last month, too. So to bring some other teams that wouldn't necessarily be accustomed to that, whether it's Detroit, whether it is, well, the Giants kind of, you know, play in those conditions, too, but it's an opportunity, and I think that's probably the thing. To be in the spot to host a game now, potentially, is probably more than you could ask for, given how the season was going in November.
Yeah, for sure. And when you look at the last two opponents who have come into Lambeau Field, two of the top defenses in the league, and the Packers have put up 38 points on each one of them, the Packers want to be playing at home in January, regardless of whether their opponent is used to the cold or not. The Packers like the way they're playing at home more than anything else right now.
Most impressive thing about this stretch is that those performances against those defenses.
Yeah, for sure. We'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.